What was I thinking?
The Sunday Skypers. The RPG Actual Play Podcast.
Welcome to Sunday Skypers, this is Dirt. This is just a quick note to apologize for some of the slight audio problems in this one. Wilhelm's connection was a little weak, and we hear some of Todd's animal friends in the background a little bit. But overall, I don't think it's too bad. Also, if you want to skip character creation banter stuff, jumped about 20 minutes or so in. There will be a resolution to this little story, though probably not in the next episode. So enjoy.
I have come completely prepared with nothing but cheese.
I scurried about and fixed up something for the SNS game, just in case. So there's always that.
Just to humor me, SNS is Swords and Sorcery?
Oh, yes, the Fate Sword and Sorcery thing that we play sometimes.
I think this is one that you play when I'm not around, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if you ever listen to the podcast, there's been a couple episodes.
Yeah.
Wait. We're supposed to listen to our own podcast?
Well, these are the ones that you weren't on, so they would be new to you.
I think this is the thread with the characters from our forum, but I think, the explanation is on MTMJ.
Oh, wait, I thought that was the setting description. No, that's the actual character. Whoa!
There is no particular setting beyond what's implied. You know, you like pick a place, much like the old popes. You know, you start from paragraph one, write something weird, and
go with it. Weird. How is the thief's name pronounced?
Talotamanta. That's how I pronounce it, anyway. But since John took possession of it, I don't wish to dictate that anymore.
Okay.
He can call it whatever he wants.
Because the Aztecs were really funky with the pronunciations. I mean, X kind of comes out as a CH sound. So you can see words that begin with X that are actually pronounced chocolate.
What? He's not supposed to be, any particular thing.
Ah.
It's more an amalgam. It's like, Aztecs meets Howard's Picts meets, I don't know, stuff. Like, I don't know, Mowgli, but with snakes instead of...
Yes.
So now you have our character thread, the character thread I posted way back when, and the thread where I presented the stuntless faked version that I proposed to play this kind of story with.
You have done something that has blown my mind. You referred to Robert E. Howard as Bob.
Did I?
Yes. It's like, Bob Howard, who in the hell is that? Oh!
Where did I write that again?
The very first line.
Oh, there we go. Well, yeah, Two Young Bob.
I've read his stuff before puberty, okay? And I never associated Bob with Robert E. Howard. And the thing is, I like Bob as a name. Bob-a-loo-bob. Boo. But I just never crossed those wires before.
I lurked on the Conan.com forums for years and years in the early 2000s, and soaked my whole being in that whole revision DeCampian, non-DeCampian stuff. So I've seen all manner of monikers, and that may bleed into that.
Fair enough. It could be one of those things where, face to face, he preferred Bob to Robert E. It's just,
I have no idea. I just think that he may have been referred to as Two Gun Bob by his his buddies.
Ah, okay, cool beans.
I don't know who came up with it first, or if it's an appellation that came later after his death or something. But there you have it, Bob Howard.
Yay,
Bob E. Howard. But yeah, I guess my take is just as much Clark Ashton Smith, in that I tend to prefer a little less pseudo history and a little more just wild out there stuff. You know, like you know, you have some points of recognition or familiarity, but it's not like you can say, oh, okay, these are totally fake Spaniards or something.
As opposed to, say, the North, it is cold.
Well, that works still. I mean, you know, I can't well say no to it when we have, crap, Dirk's character. But that's fine. I mean, that's fine. I think he said he's the last of them anyway, so it's just a frozen waste anyway. This is an option. You know, you need to whip up a character, of course, or pick one. That's what John did.
Well, what are my options if we wanted to do something quickly rather than spend an hour on character creation?
Hopefully it won't take an hour. What you need is six aspects based on, you know, the common fun sword and sorcery tropes. And you pick, let's see, the pyramid is a bit narrower. As you can see, you get six skills out of 12. The 12 are blood, sweat, fuse, steel, cool, sense, guile, provoke, befriend, sorcery, faces, and pilot. And pilot means to pilot vessels like boats. Or fuck, flying lizards, I don't know. If you really want.
I'm not that kinky.
Well, buzzard demons then. That works too.
No, I suppose fucking the mind lizards would give you an important ally.
Flying. I don't know. Did you hear me saying mind lizards?
That's what it came across to me.
Sorry. You fly mind lizards. Not without huffing some lotus first. If you want examples, there's that whole thread that I linked just before the...
Sure. Real quick, while I'm clicking and switching about, Garvar, is that how we're pronouncing that?
Yeah.
Hey, bonus points. He is Big Bad Mojo.
Barbarian shaman type.
Call him Papa Bear.
Sounds like he needs a sword-wielding companion in the civilized lands.
Works for me.
Should I go with a holy man that kills people? Or would that upset our demon of the wastes?
Demons of the waste are the opposition, not...
Oh, so you've had some demon hunting experience then?
Yes.
Oh, epic. Okay. I should just run Elric, and that would put everything on par.
Did I miss something?
No. Just reading through the tragic last sentence of Garavar's description.
Yeah,
very Michael Moorcockian kind of. It's like, you're the hero to save your people, or your people are all dead. Crap. Okay, let's see. Be creative.
We'll steal gloriously.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's what I do.
We'll steal an old D&D character name because that's why you'd play D&D, so you could steal it in the future, right?
That's this character comes from character I played. It wasn't D&D, but it was similar genre.
We're going to go with kind of a Errol Flynnish bloodletting kind of guy. His name is going to be Rydak Zionblade. In D&D terms, he would be called a dexterity fighter.
Okay. So he's a mouser.
Yes. Damn!
Okay.
Yes! I can do things like two blades are better than one.
Sure.
Acrobat with attitude.
What does that even mean?
He does the swashbuckling acrobatic thing. I know, it just sounded good because it was two A's. I like alliterations.
So he has a flair to it.
He requires an audience if possible. He's that kind of acrobat, the Errol Flynn swashbuckling type acrobat, as opposed to the thief in the middle of the night walking a tightrope acrobat.
So you can compel it to make him do stupid stunts. He could do the easy way or this other way, which is...
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, see, acrobat would have been boring, but acrobat with attitude, that adds a little extra adrenaline to the mix.
Take the stairs or leap onto the chandelier and swing across the room.
I have to definitely go with the chandelier. How do we want to do the damsel in distress thing?
How do you mean?
Like, can't resist the damsel in distress. How do I turn that into a positive, though?
You know, make it a reason, a motivation, maybe. So, you know, whenever he's doing that, or that's his goal, you could invoke it, I guess.
So something like, at his best, when flirting with the damsel... No. So flirting with danger.
That sounds okay. That sounds fine. It might maybe intersect a little with the acrobat thing, but, you know, we're still pounding out aspects, so it's not a big deal yet. Let's see what it looks like when you're done with all
okay.
six.
Okay.
Well, last time we played, so, you know, people had some aspect that they defined in play.
True. I mean, if you want to go that way, we could do that as well. That was actually kind of fun, like the first time we tried it. And people just went with a concept and picked, like, okay, I'm definitely going to be good with sorcery. And I'm a priest of blah. And as we went along, they just invented new aspects to pull them out of their hat when they needed it. Like Anna's brilliant 180 on her... the waif she protected.
Yeah, she decided she had the aspect of questionable loyalty.
Yeah.
How convenient.
Yes.
So you got, like, plot twists worked into the story.
Okay, well, let's go with four then. We have two blades are better than one, acrobat with an attitude, at his best when flirting with dangers and with danger and damsels. And rolls with a punch. So we have blood, sweat, fuse, steel, cruel sense, guile, provoke, befriend, sorcery, faces, and pilot. Let's see. And is it like +3, +2, +1?
1-3, 2-2s, and 3-1s.
Okay.
So consider what is like the most important for you. And what could possibly be used in place of another skill if you were to lock down an aspect. So say that you have like acrobat with attitude. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could use your sweat instead of steel to fight in an acrobatic manner, something like that. So then you might not have to take steel if you want to be that kind of character. Mm-hmm. But then you would, of course, have to have fate points.
Yes.
And there's no refresh, so you may not actually always have it.
Well, this guy's really good with a blade, obnoxiously good with a blade. Mm. So I could see him with a steel of 3 and a sweat of 2. And what does blood do?
Blood is your general toughness and resilience. And in the very first example character, I put it at the top because I gave him an aspect called, phenophiliac furor, which is basically when he gets really drunk, he gets really horrible. And so when you lock down that aspect, you use blood instead of steel or thews.
Well, I think we're going to go with... A cool of 2, because he's that kind of guy.
All right. Cool under fire. Inspirational, cool, yeah.
Let's see, and faces at a +1. No piloting whatsoever. That's what other people are paid to do. Befriend sounds like the charismatic kind of guy that he is. We should probably add, choices.
Why am I writing this down? I should just wait for you to finish and have
yes,
you post
yes,
it.
Yes. I was wondering about that too. I was just like, what is that sound? Oh, that's the sound of excess energy and futility.
I'm rusty, okay.
So guile is silver-tongued-ness?
Guile is everything tricky, from sneaking to lying to having just the right thing or plan or, yeah.
Okay, and faces?
Duplicitude.
And faces?
Faces is contacts. People you know and can draw upon for information and help and so forth.
Almost there. One more to go. I'm just wondering, do I want to be clueless or resourceful? I think we'll have to go with sense. Okay.
Thank you.
And I will tell you right now, Zion Blade. I do not know that means if he is a fighter of Zion or a fighter for Zion, because I chose that name before I even knew what the hell Zion was. It was a Z word, and I thought it was cool.
I guess you could always change it to S-C-I-O-N.
No. Though that is neat in its own way. We got to have the Z in there. Otherwise, it's not kosher. Here's a bit of strange trivia for you. Rydak, when pronounced by artificial voice software, always comes out as Riddick, no relationship to the other guy.
I think you said flirts with danger, or did you change that back to at its best when flirting with danger and damsels?
I wanted the two to go together. That is flirting.
What I kind of do. I'm just, it's fine, but it would be neat.
Damsels are dangerous.
Terse. It's just, yeah.
If you wish for me to rephrase it, how would you like for it to go?
I kind of liked it the way it was, but...
What was the way it was? Because
if you had... Oh, flirts with danger, or flirting with danger, or something like that, right?
Okay, flirts with danger. That can include, surprisingly enough, damsels.
Well, yeah, it could just be flirts with danger and damsels.
That works, too.
Flirts with dangerous damsels.
Or flirts with dangerous damsels.
But that's a bit specific.
Okay. So we'll go with flirts with danger, and we'll look for dangerous damsels.
They will, by definition, be dangerous, I guess.
Well, they're the more dangerous of the species.
The species of damsel, yes. The dangerous species of damsel.
Yes.
Rescue the dragons from them.
Yeah, two blades are better than one. Acrobat with an attitude. Flirts with danger. Rolls with a punch. Steal, okay. Sweat, cool, befriend, guile, and sense.
All right. Friendly.
Everybody wants to party with Rydak. I do not have a theme song. I need to work on that. Unfortunately, the only thing that comes to mind is the A-Team. It's like, no!
I was thinking Beastmaster for some reason, but you know, A-Team works too, I guess.
No, it doesn't, damn it!
You could mix it up and take the Airwolf soundtrack instead.
No, I'd rather have the A-Team. The A-Team at least has street cred.
What was that other show called? The one with, what's his face? Hasselhoff.
Knight Rider?
Yes.
Baywatch. Well, that definitely has street cred. Baywatch. There you go. Now you're talking Rydak style. So we're going to this beach. Well, it sounds like a job for Sweat.
And cool.
Amazingly enough, yes. How horrendously magical is your setting?
Well, I would say it's filthy with sorcery, meaning you're not likely to find like glowy stuff all over the place. But everything is, you know, it's not odd to have someone who knows something about demons or devils, you know, wards. I guess it's in the general sense, it's more folksy. But I mean, if you ask any one person, they're going to say, of course, devils are real. And of course, you know, there are goblins in the hills and so on and so forth. But if I say goblin, it's not going to be your green, pointy-nosed
weasel
type. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, generally, it'll be weird and fun. You know, people are not going to look at you askance if you say, look, I'm shopping for charms against swamp things.
I just wanted to know generally what to do equipment-wise. I mentioned this guy was Errol Flynnish. Imagine that kind of build with, of course, you know, cheesy thin mustache and the cheesy thin beard. He traditionally wears black buckskins with the fringes and the tassels. That's kind of his trademark, is black and silver. So it's
better than what's that film called, the Crimson Buccaneer or something?
With Burt Lancaster?
Was he in that? No. That's the Crimson Pirate. Maybe it's the Red Buccaneer. It's the Scarlet Buccaneer or something like that.
Scarlet Pimpernel?
No. anyway, it's one of those fancy films, but the main character has, like, his entire wardrobe is bright scarlet, and it's like this horrendous eyesore in Technicolor.
My God, it's Technicolor.
Getting their money's worth.
Yes.
I'm going to mention, this guy totally existed before Drizzt ever existed. So the hell with any comparisons of dual wheeling sabers and scimitars and crap like that.
Other than he's a drow, I don't know anything about him. Drizzt, that is.
I know he's a ranger, right?
Yeah, his signature thing was dual wielding scimitars. And so many people have been contaminated by that culture that anytime you mention dual wielding blades, the first thing they say, oh, it's just another Drizzt clone. I said, like, who?
Have you seen the Florentines?
Yes. Exactly.
Have you read the German fencing books?
Look, we've got
I think Bob Salvatore stole that from other people.
Yes. I'm a bloodthirsty, black-colored Daniel Boone with a little D.R. Daniel thrown in.
All right. In the delightful classic puppy sense, we're just going to throw you guys into the midst of stuff without explanation or anything. And everyone's going to be as natural as if it happened every day.
It doesn't? So I'm always traveling on horseback and trouble finds me.
Yes. Okay. I guess I should pick like one of Todd's aspects to sort of weave it into the story like I planned for Dirk's character. And I think flirts with danger is very appropriate. So, right. You get one fate point for all of your aspects, possibly plus one. I'm going to double check that to begin with.
So does that mean six? Four, or does it mean, because I have four defined, I get four?
You have four defined aspects, so you get five fate points plus one for me using flirts with danger to weave you into the story. So six to begin with. And for every new aspect you come up with, you get a new, fresh, shiny fate point.
Oh.
Yes.
How convenient.
Up to a maximum of six, of course, aspects. And since there's no refresh, you know, if you want tons of them, keep suggesting compels, because I know I'm really lazy about that. that's a point where I can get better as a, you know, like fake GM.
It's almost in some of these games, you need like a co-GM that just handles the invoking.
Yeah.
to keep track of everybody's aspects.
Speaking of which, like, I think I listened to the first half of the second Sword and Sorcery episode up on the feed.
Yeah.
And I think we got to the point where they, you know, invade the self-absorbed sorcerer type.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like sitting there shouting at myself, like, have the corpses wake, you idiot! It's like, there's no tension here! That's fine.
We were waiting for that to happen, I think, when we were moving around.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, pulling stuff out of my ass.
Oh, yeah.
In the moment tends to, yeah.
It was plenty fun, so.
To be honest, if you pulled a corpse out of your ass, we would be concerned.
Well, I meant to pull a horde of corpses out of my ass, but fine. Let's get this started, shall we?
Sure, but I have to start it with this. It's a rectum, not a clown car.
Where's that from?
Nowhere. I just made it up. The usual is it's a vagina, not a clown car. But since you're pulling a horde out of a different orifice, we had to change it.
Oh. So, it's monsoon season in the vilayet of Harat, right? You all know the place. And, you know, the surly clicking of the six-legged drakes that people use as mounts can be heard of a heaven's percussion. Of course, you are not disheartened because you are sharing a drink with a cult of necromantic revelers, right? In this little, like, settlement on stilts or poles, since the water's rising terribly. You know, you can imagine these, like, thatch-roofed long houses on stilts or like, platforms with canvas over them and lines going every which way to facilitate acrobatics. It's general fun and games in general. You know, you've met two necromantic revelers in particular that are delightful. Twins called Innar and Itarmat. They both have facial tattoos on one side of the face. So when they face each other, it's like looking into a mirror. Like they are looking into a mirror. Delightful chaps, a bit on the necrophiliac side maybe, but otherwise fine. And of course, it's not the most, you know, savory thing to drink and have fun with these types of people, since, you know, you might end up drugged and taken advantage of in a necromantic sense. Yeah, that's why you have your little fake point there.
Fair enough. Well, they're charming. I'm charming. It's not like either of us are really going to be traveling in this weather.
No.
I imagine in the background there's the constant hiss of rain hitting, you know, the roofs and the vegetation.
Oh, yeah.
And the puddles of water.
Puddles? No. If you're lucky, you're on a little hill, So the house was sort of rising on poles from a heap of slick mud. But most of the houses are like in the middle of a thick mangrove forest jungle thing. And, you know, the water has just risen 3 meters or something like that in the last month. So it's mostly, water and, you know, little bamboo gondolas and stuff.
Not the best weather for traveling in, so might as well enjoy some company and swapping of story.
Indeed. They have many less savory stuff to convey, but, you know, it'd be talking about the weather, I guess.
Yep, still raining.
So in the midst of this merrymaking, I guess you're on the sort of canvas-covered platform with the rest of the cult and the odd local. Yeah. And, you know, the people are running around with earthen vessels of some sort of local wine, frothy wine.
Oh, yummy.
It's probably, you know, fermented Drake's milk or something.
That'll put some hair on your chest.
Yes.
Of course, you know, the next morning you'll have to scrape your tongue with a knife, but...
Well, you know, you can do it with your teeth and then you have breakfast in the form of fermented cheese, I guess.
Yeah, it's just... Maybe not too enthusiastic.
Or you can just let it sit for a while, and then it'll coagulate, and you can eat it that way.
There you go. Have a clot of brew. I will regale them of tales when I traveled through the desert, because it is such an exotic locale.
Oh, yeah.
Mind you, I hated the desert probably as much as I hate this place.
Yes, yes. They're, of course, into it. And in the midst of all this, there's this thin mist, like sort of crawls and curls in under the canvas, like something, like mist, thickens and begins to coalesce into shapes, and the shapes take on the forms of men and women, very much like the locals in looks and appearance, and they start to assail the locals and your little cult friends. And among the mist people materialize three individuals that Garavar might have known in life, that other life, right? You know, three hunters of note that he might have, I don't know, might have been part of his tribe or something, who were, you know, friendly back then. But now, you know, they appear enraged and just wreathed in this sort of sickly... black, smoky purulence of spiritual ichor, let's say. And they're not themselves. And they spot you and, you know, produce these long spirit-made or mist-made harpoons and, you know, hurl away.
Wow, that sounds like a good excuse to duck under the table.
Sounds like a good excuse to pick up the table and use it as a shield.
Here's, we each have our own way.
Here's Garvar's particularly unpleasant predicament. I'm giving you a fate point for invoking demons of the wastes, and you'll know why in a moment. Furthermore, I'm locking down your spirit realm for story reasons, and since that is a horrible, horrible way to treat a player, I'm giving you 2 fate points instead of one. And for the time being, you are unable to call upon the spirit world. They renege you or appear twisted and won't reply or attack you.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Face devils, you know.
Well, hey, I think after not getting harpooned, that the operative thing would be to see as if good, clean steel will cut through these file mists.
You could try.
Well, okay.
It's certainly worth a shot, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, get to my feet, simultaneously draw both blades and just have at you and start.
All right. So the shapes, they're like Garvar, they're like 7-foot mist people. Of course, Garvar isn't a mist person, but, you know.
Okay, well, I'll try to avoid stabbing the one that looks real.
Much appreciated.
Right, just have at all of them, or one at a time, or what are you doing? Of course, I mean, there are heaps of them just appearing and assailing all of you, so, I mean, you could do a little of anything, everything.
I totally imagine him doing the whirling dervish thing, swinging and slashing, not necessarily going for the kill, just more or less testing the waters to see if blades will even harm them, and in the process making my way towards the door in case I need to run like hell.
Swim like hell, you mean?
That may be the case, too.
Well, screw it. Let's make an attack. So same as usual, the four fudge dice. Yeah, you add or subtract as usual to your steel, I guess. You're testing your steel against these mist people, these mist assailers.
Okay, we broke even, so we have a nice clean plus three.
All right.
Ha! Ha! Hey, and some for you too.
All right, so you do in fact realize that slashing them at least dissipates them. So that's good. They may or may not reform. I mean, you maybe slash a few on the way, and you definitely disperse one of the three great hunter spooks. Nope. As you do.
All right.
Totally acceptable with that.
Then as I've lifted up the table, I'm just going to charge at a couple of them.
I guess the ghostly points of the harpoons poke through the table's top.
That's some pretty strong mist if you're punching holes in wood.
So we'll use our fuse for that. Yeah, only get a plus one.
Let's see what they roll. Oh, plus three. So I guess that means they suddenly turn to mist, and you know, you rush past them, and the mist coalesces again, and you know, now they're behind you.
Slam into the wall.
Given the structural integrity of these sort of
slam through the wall.
I'm sure you break through something. It's basically wicker work or just sticks. It's more a rain shelter than a house.
It's certainly not for warmth.
No. So I guess they'll leap at, let's split them up, why not? So one leaps at Garavar, and one leaps at the wild double-bladed swordder person. And we'll start with Garavar, or the one attacking Garavar. And he reaches for you with his bare hands, and it's not going so well, since he's at a plus one.
I'll try to use my table defense again.
You tear it from the ruins of a ruined wall.
Yeah, I figure it's probably more sturdy than the wall was anyway.
Yeah.
Hold that up against it, and that'd give me plus four.
Oh, so that's a shift then.
Spin.
Congratulations. So,
So I can slam it and knock it toward Rydek.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. But first.
Yes.
But first, let's see how the poor civilized rogue does against the barbaric spook. And the spook gets a plus one, so he's not doing too hot either. Go ahead, little Rydek.
Okay, well, since that one is backpedaling, since it was swatted like a bug, we will gladly skewer that one.
Yes. Right now, the other one, since they split up, is reaching for you with a ghostly black ether. Solid hand.
So can I add...
Defend yourself, sir.
Well, I've got a minus two, which I'm not happy with that. So if I want to throw down a fate point, I want to change that from a plus one, I mean a plus one to a plus three. So I'm going to invoke two blades are better than one. While I skewer the one that's backpedaling towards me, I'm also fencing left-handed against the other one and keeping it at bay. Or so like, you're going to have to do better than that. Yes, I'm insane.
Fair enough. So while you're preparing to skewer the spin type, since we'll take that next round, you're defending yourself against the ineffective grappling of the burst.
Absolutely. They may be ghosts, but they still don't want to suck blade.
No, they don't.
Some bad habits from the living get through to even the dead.
I'm sorry, did you get a plus two or did you wish to re-roll?
I got a total of plus three because I just spent a fate point to give myself an advantage to two bladed.
Invoking what?
Two blades are better than one.
Yes, excellent. Okay, as you can see, I'm not all there today.
No problem. Ha!
Fantastic. So now, new round. Fantastic. Now you get to skewer the first one, and you get a plus, the second one, I mean, the spin one.
Okay.
So, and you get a plus one for that.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can seriously skewer them, and the fate dice will be kind to me. And let's see, that's seven.
Really?
Oh, three plus one. Yes. He exploded.
Yeah, there's really no way for me to defend against that. And since we're not working with stress in this system much, that is how do you dispatch the staggering
style, of course. I totally imagine we have two cowering necromancers. assuming they haven't fled yet.
Well, they're holding their own, sort of, you guess.
Well, in that case, I consider them my audience. As well as this, yes, I do make this look easy.
You should have a self-absorbed aspect.
I may. It's like, I'm sitting here listening to these stories, and yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I'm getting a little sleepy, and it's like, something to kill! Huzzah!
I thought you were regaling them with stories of the desert.
Yes, but the desert is dry and boring. It's only exotic to them.
Fine, okay.
I think I still have sand in the wrong places.
So we have the final spook type left, who's still reaching for Rydak, but now Garor is free. What are you doing?
Swing the table around and try to swat him.
All right.
Ooh, that's only going to be a plus one.
All right, let's see what I rule. And, a zero. So you still hit, and you still have an effect. And since it's not bound by stress, you make something of him. What? How do you disperse this ghost?
Half of it is suddenly not there as the mist dissipates when the table swings through it.
All right. So meanwhile, the necromancers have defended themselves admirably, though mostly keeping the other little spooks at bay. But with the main three aggressors vanished, the others sort of start to wail and turn into mist and dissipate them as well. As they do, when you're sort of collecting yourselves, the twins sort of go, "Well, that was new, unexpected. We're not sure what happened." As they do, these crazy naked people with knives and hatchets start to just crawl up and through every aperture and opening and through the canvas in the roof. They look completely deranged, wild eyes caked with mud. They have these elaborate hairdos, long hair that they pleated and then wired the pleat around their heads to make a sort of braid pyramid. Now they're attacking.
Well, that's not going to stop Rydak. But he is going to shout at the necromancer twins. So I thought you said Harat was boring.
Usually is when it rains.
I just imagine, you know, they have all this elaborate mud that they caked on, but because of the rain, it's all runny. So they kind of look like savage,
yes,
crazy mud goths.
Yes. With weird hair pyramids.
Do you know who these are, turning to the others?
You've had time to have an in-depth conversation since they're, you know, rushing at you with a knife and axe. But, you get a sort of, before the violence starts. And sorry if this intro is very Darfo in style, but...
No problem. I haven't had a Darfo day in a year, so I guess I'm due.
And once you've defeated this wave, then come the Minotaurs.
And then the boss creature, which actually is part of their terrain. Beware the mangrove god.
Are you sure you haven't looked inside my notes?
Yeah, we just work from the same source material.
Yes. Yes, a whole host of these, well, not a whole host, but maybe a dozen of these crazies just appear and, you know, they shriek wordlessly, and fall, attack. And I'm guessing, you know, I'll give four to Todd and four to Dirk and four to the Necromancer twins.
These guys can potentially be more dangerous because they don't care if they're crazy. It's just like, I will jump on his blade and slide down it so I can gnaw on his wrist.
It's not that they don't care about getting hurt, it's that they don't care about being crazy.
Oh, okay. So
I like that.
They're more socially crazy than psychopathically crazy.
Well, both, I guess.
Okay, well, I bet they bleed the same.
They will certainly do. Well, if you prick them, but you'll have to prick them first.
All right, I want to use my shamanism. I bring up a huge wind. I throw the table at them, and the wind carries it into them.
Okay, you were recruited with spirit and have it grab a table and crash into them?
Yeah.
Cool. So that's your shamanism sorcery skill?
Yeah.
I guess. So it's a plane of deck.
So it's plus one, plus four.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have a feeling they won't be... No.
Oh, dear.
So, plus four, you said. Yes. Okay. Yeah, you the table just crashes into all of them, and, you know, there are gouts of blood and the snapping of bones, and, you know, they just collapse in a heap of... A crimson mess of bent limbs and broken wood. Well done.
All right. Now, Zydek.
Let's see you top that, Mr. Rydak.
That's a challenge, which means flirting with danger. You know that crisscrossing sword motion where you create like a barrier of blades in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
He will do one of those maneuvers and literally charge the crazies instead of defending against them and continue to run past them, nicking and slashing and generally letting them bleed out all over the fun place. So we'll jump right into the thick of it.
All right. Are you saying you'll forgo defending yourself next time?
That's pretty much what I've done.
All right. Have a fate point.
Oh, okay. Well, I immediately spend that fate point because I'm being dangerous and flirting with it at the same time.
All right. So make your attack.
Okay. So that's a six. Yeah.
You plus one from the dice.
Plus three for steel and plus two because I'm getting in close and foregoing defense. That's a plus six.
Right.
So yes, just a whirling Cuisinart.
Yes.
I am a man of few skills, but one of them is hurting people very badly.
Yes, that means you slash three of them to ribbons.
That works for me.
Well, of course, you have that flair and style thing, so I guess you don't splash them to ribbons so much as open the right veins and then they fall over.
The right veins.
Am I right?
Achilles tendons. The whole deal where like you can't stand if you don't have that tendon. At least attached. So, yes, I
go
with surgical precision in a berserker's life.
Yes, except the last one. The last bugger who just, you know, realizes that maybe he should take one step back instead of being absolutely berserk. And so he does. And since you're foregoing defending yourself, this is going to hurt.
Well, that's assuming they hit.
Yes, it is assuming they hit. And they do. Which means we get to apply fun damage stuff. And since we don't have stress in this system, you can either concede, and I'm not going to force you to take a consequence while conceding in this little variant. And if you concede, you can you get to, you know, describe on your terms how you lose, right? Maybe it was an evil plank that, you know, it wasn't your fault at all. It, you know, the floor gave way and you fell over or something. It's entirely on your terms. Or you could take one of your three consequences, which is going to hang on usually till the end of the story or until an organic fictional reason for it vanishing appears. And we're not grading the consequences. We're just naming them for whatever the fiction calls for, right? So, you know, maybe you have a gash or what would be worse would have your clothes ruined or something for you. I don't know.
Jeez.
cuts off your fringe.
So do you wish to concede instead of and lose on your terms, or do you wish to take a consequence and keep going?
Let's go with concede and lose on my terms, because what I can imagine is one of them, the crazies that I slashed, as I move past him, because I am flirting with danger, and I slashed him, he's good as dead. Well, he's still bleeding, but not dead. So he manages to reach out with an arm around my neck and pull me back to the floor.
Ow!
So I am knocked back and in his dying grip around my throat.
Oh, okay, so you're incapacitated, essentially.
Yes.
All right. And, yeah, okay, let's hop on over to Garva then, since the Necromancer twins are busy protecting themselves from the remaining four. Your friend is in dire straits. Or friend, your...
Traveling companion.
Yes. Your co-thief.
I'll grab this little naked guy by the arms to pull him off Rydak, maybe breaking or separating some things in the process.
Well, he's going to die, but the danger is the other guy who's descending on him with axe and knife, who's not on the floor and is unhurt.
Okay, I guess I misunderstood what's going on there. So he's on the floor, Rydak's
yes.
down, and there's a guy up who's threatening
you? Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I went to move in to skewer the last one, but got jerked back by one of his dying comrades.
Ah, okay.
So now I'm fit to be skewered.
Oh, well, in that case, we'll just charge into this one and attempt to get a nice hold around his head and choke him.
All right.
Get him in a bear lock.
Ah, nice crushing fuse attack.
Yeah.
Oh, because he's small and crazy, and you're big and not crazy.
Yeah, that'd be plus one. I got fate points, so let's throw in power of the bear god on that.
Too. All right.
You know, plus three.
You need to roar when you do that.
Well, I do.
Deep eldritch bear roar, yes. And he rolls abysmally, and I guess you crush him to little stringy naked person bits.
From the floor.
And I toss him out the hole I made earlier.
From the floor, Rydak drops his blades and pries the dead man's hand off of his throat. Says, I wanted to talk to that one.
He might not have floated away yet.
Meanwhile, the Necromancer twins have made short work of their sailors. You know, they're not dusting themselves off, but sort of...
So when they made short work, because a sword fight is a way of communicating, how did they dispatch him? With little black daggers? With death magic?
Oh, okay. You would be the person to pay attention, right? So, yeah. They both have these sort of... you can't call a sword curt. They have short-ish scimitars that are not quite the desert kind, but maybe there's some kind of fancy naval version. They're not quite cutlasses, but thereabouts. And they have this sort of purplish, maculate sheen to them, as if they're dipped in something unpleasant.
Duly noted.
Yes. But, of course, I mean, they're not your consummate swordsmen, so they're huffing and puffing and sort of removing the muddy gunk they've been plastered with in the grappling and stabbing.
So I'll go find where I put my spear. I'll say, okay. All right, which of us were these after?
I didn't recognize anyone, says Imnar, and Itarmat says, well, a few of them looked local. I suppose we're the only ones left alive. No one really to ask. But I think I recognize the madmen, right? Aren't they the the
cult of the batshit crazy people?
Didn't they look like those gymnosophic something or other? The Ibnar fills in like, oh, you mean the warrior priests of Yaharag? Yes, those them, right?
More priest than warrior, I hope.
Well, as I understand it, the philosophy sort of goes hand in hand, or the rituals, or something. Yeah, well, it's mere mostly hearsay. I haven't read anything about it, but I do recognize the distinctive hairdos.
Yeah. It's
just, anyway,
I don't believe I know of anything I did to piss them off. You, Rydak?
No, but the ghostly visitors looked an awful lot like your kin.
Did they? Yeah. Oh?
I thought they were big and tall and related to him more than they were to the runty little savages we just murdered.
Yes, maybe a few of them were. Do you have some outstanding issues with the spirit world? May I ask Garvar?
Nothing important.
Oh. Itarmat, you did notice the strange black oily sort of ichor smoke thing, right? Didn't you, Imnar? What? No? Well, that isn't usual, is it? I've never seen that on spirits, have I? No, I haven't, at least.
I don't think I have either.
I've not made the acquaintance, but I'm glad that they were easy to dispatch.
Well, that's good.
Well,
it could be...
Can I, can't do spirit ahead. Realm, can I use knowledge of the ancients?
Oh, totally, yes.
Okay.
Maybe this Yaharag will ring a bell.
Okay, so spend a fate point and recall some knowledge about...
Sure, absolutely. You might even actually roll shamanism and see if you get any shift.
All right. Oh, there we go. Plus six.
Oh, dear. All that, okay, I guess I can strike that part of the...
No, the spin. By the way, they're highly flammable. I know, it's rather odd.
If I'm spending that fate point, if we use that as a plus two...
Well, you're spending it to allow you to make a declaration, but I'm just fine. Interested in seeing the depth of information you can get. So, yeah, certainly this Yahara, you seem to remember it's some kind of festering frost flower demon that's said to make its avatar in a monstrous tentacle sprouting orchid. It dwells somewhere in the local swamps, deep in the local swamps. Oh, and by the way, the name is purportedly the noise it makes when it regurgitates those it has devoured.
How quaint! Actually, I am impressed with your depth of knowledge. I usually rely upon old men in taverns to tell me what's up.
He is the old man of the tavern.
Yes, he is.
It's kin to those ancient demons that ruined your homelands, by the by. You know, it's an ancient evil, and you've never heard of these warrior priests, but likely there's, you know, its sycophants. It definitely has the power over certain spirits, and perhaps that is the oily crap that was sullying the spirits and making them go crazy.
Look at the others and go, well, we must destroy this priest, this demon, or these attacks may continue against us.
That sounds very heroic, says Imnar. I don't know if we're...
It's for your own good, otherwise...
You're going to run out of walls.
Yes, these... spirits and crazy men may keep coming after you.
He's right, says Tarmat. It's absolutely right. We have to go take on this pseudopodial overlord. What if the spirits, you know, overmaster the whole of the vilayet? That would be terrible. That would be horrible. You know, imagine if grandfather came back. What would you do? Ibnar's all like, crap. I forgot to mention one thing, Mr. Garavar, which you may or may not want to keep to yourself. The heart of this thing, this Yaharag, is said to be a behemoth Valas ruby that houses its soul.
Ah. If you do mention that, you would seriously have my attention.
If I know that's a way to motivate him, then yeah, I'll go.
Oh, riches fit for nobles.
and of course, the heart of the demon is a giant ruby.
Giant ruby, you say?
I've
the
never
size of a fist?
Yes, a large fist, yes.
With that kind of cash, we could probably upgrade our quarters. Maybe get to someplace a little drier.
Right, it's raining in through the various holes and apertures cut into the roof where the crazy warrior priests entered.
Assuming that there's any of that cloddy grog left, it's now watery cloddy grog.
Yes, which may be an improvement.
Yeah, but it might also be enough persuasion to say, well, just, we need to do something about this because it's ruining the local brew.
At the least.
So now, here's a good question. You mentioned briefly earlier on six-legged riding lizards.
Yes.
How well do they traverse the muck and slime of a mangrove swamp?
Decently, on their own. When it's not monsoon season, you know, that this is the mode of transportation. They're not excellent swimmers, sadly, in spite of their six legs. They're sort of ponderous. Like, imagine some weird six-legged cross between a ponderous crocodile and a Komodo dragon or something.
I will gladly imagine that. Do they come in a variety of colors?
Sorry?
Do they come in a variety of colors?
I guess. Why not? You know, usually dark greenish and reddish rust-ish.
Well, I definitely would want one that has a preponderance of blood-colored stripes.
Okay.
So, well, let's saddle up, and since you seem to be so knowledgeable about this, see if we can make for this temple and put an end to this obnoxious threat, because obviously they've gotten out of control and they're in some kind of drug-induced frenzy.
Yes, yes.
And there's this ruby you mentioned.
Yeah, so...
I'm going to be seriously disappointed if it turns out to be a ruby red seed pod or something.
That would be fun. well, Sithimnar Garvar, well, do you know where the swamp this thing dwells? It's a pretty large swamp. I mean, pretty much the whole Vilayet is the swamp.
Now we may be able to track the spirit trace of our attackers here back to where they came from.
That is a good way. Of course, I've also heard of this ferryman. The eyeless one. You know, he's a brave rogue man who's supposed to be able to take you pretty much anywhere in the swamp. I don't know if he knows the way, of course, but that would be one way of traversing the area.
Blind ferryman, excellent idea. Nothing goes wrong.
I know these swamps like the back of my hand. Also, I have not seen the back of my hand in 40 years.
I searched the floor for a coin to give him.
Also, says Itarmat, of course, I bow to your sagacity and your knowledge and your forbearance and all that, but do you know how to vanquish this thing?
Well, application of steel and magic?
Yes, that is usually the way you do it, but, you know, forewarned and forearmed and all that. I've heard of a sunken fane, of course, in the West somewhere. They're supposed to have indices of devils, you know. Maybe Harar is among them. We could maybe see if there's anything there, if you wish. Or we could go directly, of course, to the, what did you just call it, the spirit trail?
Yeah,
well, see, my concern is how they got here. If they used some kind of foul demon magic, we may not be able to take the same path that they did.
I would posit, says Imnar, that they, what is the term, piggybacked on the cultists, the priests, I think, and then appeared here when, you know, as a sort of vanguard for the priests.
Well, it's not really my area of expertise. I'm usually more of the point me at the enemy and I eviscerate them.
Well, we're going to need that.
I know. Yeah, I just might have to go with egotistical.
One question, though, Sissy Tarmac. Are you going to fall over again?
No, that was my being too enthusiastic with dispatching of these crazies.
Ah, so as long as we cage that enthusiasm, we should be fine if we were to go along. Or should we rather stay behind, maybe?
I'm quite certain that trudging through the swamp will dampen my enthusiasm.
He makes a good point. All right.
Says, anywho, that's not something we'd say. Says, by and by, your company would be most welcome on this endeavor. And I'm sure the villagers of Herat would be most grateful for us dispatching this threat.
Yes, that's true. And I suppose it's time for us to stop sitting around and moping and drinking this stuff. And maybe we can get a sliver or a shard of that ruby when all is said and done.
Oh, I'm sure that they have all manner of loot to be had. Most of these temples are just reeking with gold.
Well, they don't, look very wealthy.
That's because they don't wear their wealth. They leave it for their head man. Their god is a greedy god, I'm quite certain. They fertilize the soil with gold and silver.
Don't plants like, I don't know, water and
most plants aren't man-eating horrors.
That is true. They're not demons.
And we all know demons are greedy and full of avarice.
most priests are very greedy and full of avarice.
The two go hand in hand.
But then what are they greedy for? I suppose that is the question.
Well, if we didn't kill the last one, we could have asked them.
Yes, well, if the greed is reflected on this Yaharach, then maybe they're cannibals?
Well, in that case, any poor travelers would have left their worldly possessions behind. I'm motivated.
Oh, all right, fair enough. Well, really, the ruby is all we need. It's just, pondering the possible pitfalls and dangers ahead.
I'm sure it's incredibly perilous, but with your... But with your wicked blades and my rapier wit, I'm sure we will do just fine. Have I told you about the time about the sand lions of the deep desert? I survived that. I can survive this.
Didn't you mention something about that before the Yahoos or these crazies dropped in?
I was getting to it. They ruined my story.
Before or after the sphinx snake thing?
I hate snakes, but that's another story.
Well, do we forage ahead alone, or should we contact the ferryman, or...
Traveling as a group, and if the ferryman knows of a way, that might be the most comfortable way to travel.
Yeah, so you know, we wouldn't have to be at the mercy of the various six-legged beasts.
True, and the most direct route may not be the most accessible route to beast or boat.
Oh, indeed, and given the flooded state of the Pilliat, I highly suggest that, you know, boat travel is the way to go.
Matter of fact, leaning through a couple of windows or maybe a doorway or a large hole in the wall, would there happen to be small little warrior priest boats or anything that indicates how they got here?
There's a wide variety of floats, large and small, mostly, you know, the local little grass boat variety, I guess.
Dugouts. I imagine dugouts would be popular.
Yeah, that too. Nothing that indicates they're used particularly by crazy naked demon plant cultists.
So nothing like a small flotilla of war canoes?
No. Well, some of these canoes could no doubt be used for war.
Got my theme music now. Johnny Quest. Dun, 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 dun. So where can we find this ferryman?
I know you didn't mean to say ferryman, but that's what I heard.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said, but because, you know, hey, you know, don't fear the Reaper and all that stuff is also running through my head because we're going back to the 70s and 80s. Yay!
Yay! I shouldn't have said that. Now I have the soundtrack for Wizards in my head. Well, says the Tarmac, I believe the ferryman should be in the next village, so we could either borrow a few boats or swim or climb or...
Boat or beast is the way to go. If the water has gotten too high, then certainly boats, since the beasts don't swim well.
This would be prudent, since it's all in there.
Those boats there look convenient.
It'll have to be a large boat to accommodate our large friend, right?
Yeah.
Or are you lighter than you seem?
Probably not.
We're going to upgrade at least to a skiff.
All right, to the bat boat. And later in the next village, on the docks, there is a foreboding gray-clad, gray-robed, hooded figure with a great big iron-bound oar that stands on the dock next to this kind of shabby-looking, not boat. It's more like a, you know, it's not a boat. It's just a floating wooden...
Raft,
thank you.
I do have an opening comment to this guy, if I can jump in.
Sure.
I'll walk up boldly, because that's the only way I can. I say, old man, we're looking for the gray eyeless one. Have you seen him?
If this were a Final Fantasy game, his name would be Old Man. Well, says the foreboding figure, yes, I'm he.
Excellent.
You seek my ferrying services, I presume.
Absolutely. We are told that you are the person that could help us the most.
Well, as long as you are willing to pay the toll, I can take you anywhere in the swamp.
Anywhere, he says. Garavar, please explain to this gentleman what we seek.
Temple of Doom, pretty much.
Well, Imnar, do we want to find the flower first, or should we seek the sunken thing for the indices?
Sorry, what was that?
There's said to be indices of devils in the old sunken fane, but if you know enough of this horror, then maybe that is unnecessary and we can, you know,
I think our traveling companions have a point. Forewarned is forearmed. If it turns out this thing has a weakness that we can exploit, we should do diligence and search for that.
Tarmac looks to his brother and goes, didn't I say that back at the never mind.
Yes, you did, but I said it back.
Ah, fair enough.
It's hard to hear over the rain.
Or hard to hear
yes,
over
of course,
the ride act.
You're all being soaked at the moment.
Yeah,
I can only imagine Garvar being huge and having fur all over and just being completely...
Smells like a wet bear.
So,
all right.
Take us to this sunken fount of knowledge.
The Fane, Imra, correct?
Yes.
Sunken Fane. We don't want to go to some sunken fount by mistake. That would be bad.
Do you know of such a place?
I know of all places, says the eyeless one.
Impressive. After this, you're going to have to tell me where to get the best drink in town is.
We may have had it, unfortunately.
I have a thing. Why not? That was funny. Okay, well, he says, all right, then present to me one male babe, and I shall take you anywhere you want.
That is an unusual toll.
It may be where you're from. Nevertheless, it is the price I require.
Well, tap our fingers against our immaculately groomed, if soggy, beard. So, obviously we do not have babe in hand. Is there some...
Are you willing to do a down payment?
Is there some service or favor we can render for you in lieu of this man-child that you so desire?
I'm sure if you offer a significant remuneration, one of the local women will give up hers.
And what's the age range you're looking for?
So you're seriously considering this?
Well, I'm trying to get all the specifics of the...
Would it be so bad, says Tarmat? But one babe versus the entire Viliat, potentially.
It is not customary. It's just like, I did not know that the Grey One here was cannibalistic.
Well, I don't know if he eats them, but
you can ask
them, do you?
I suppose it wouldn't hurt. And what do you plan to do, per se, with this babe after you've acquired it?
I require its, well, life to navigate.
I see. So your services are not usually in high demand.
Not by everyone, no. Only those in dire need.
I motion for the rest of the party and step away from the old man. He probably has hearing like a hawk, but still. That is a steep, steep price to pay for the convenience of finding this place.
I suppose.
Do you have any other idea of the whereabouts of this?
Unfortunately, no, but...
Well, we don't either, but...
And searching the swamp, it could take weeks, it could take months, and we still may not find this place.
Maybe he's a liar, says Imar. Maybe his orientation powers lie elsewhere, and he's just a vile old man.
Unfortunately, when you become the stuff of legends, there's usually some truth behind it.
Well, you know, yes. Still, I suppose we could try to kill him and then raise him and ask him to do our bidding that way. That would be one way, but I don't know if I'd like to tackle with that.
Would you trust the advice of someone that you waylaid? He'd surely lead us to the most vile stretch of the swamp and just chuckle as we are sucked under and consumed whole.
I suppose it is possible, though with the right formulae, I assure you he would be quite under our control. Yes, I hope, unless he's some sort of demon character.
He's an eyeless, he's a blind ferryman who leads people through the swamp.
And eats children's souls.
And eats children, or their life.
Well, we don't know if he eats them. He could just, I don't know, use it for some sort of orienteering ritual, right? Right? Couldn't he do that? Says Itarmat, yes, it's possible. It's also possible he's the might, I don't know. Well, still, should we, what? What are you most in the mood for? Murder, murder?
Is this town large enough to have the equivalent of a stable for the lizard mounts?
Sure, why not? They're not the most reliable critters in this weather, but you could certainly go with that.
I have an idea. Just stand there a little bit. For a few minutes, leave him in expectation or boredom, and I go to the equivalent of a stable, find the equivalent of a door, pound on it until I either wake someone up or they open, and I ask them,
all right.
Do you have any young lizard mounts that are male, that are relatively adolescent?
Well, it's not really the season for hatchlings, but I suppose we have some very young ones.
If you have a young male mouse.
Well, you can't go anywhere in the swamp now, and certainly not on a youngling.
No, I have other needs for it. And I have no idea whether I have the cash for this or not, but name a price.
You could always haggle them.
Well, yes, you know. Sure. And we will guile them into something within my price range.
There you go.
Let's see. Guiling. That's only a plus one, but we'll see what we can do.
You need a two, and then you'll essentially get a free.
Well, we will definitely give that a try, see if the fate dice are kind enough. I see a whopping plus zero. I believe I need to do something to improve my guile, because I don't think I have him convinced. I only have a plus one on the roll. Let's see.
Yes, right. You need two.
Well, to use a fate point, do I have to associate it with a aspect, or can I just use one to reroll?
You have to actually invoke an aspect in order to spend one. So either pick one you have or invent an aspect.
Invent an aspect.
And get a fate point for it.
Lizard haggler.
You might want to pick one that you think might be more useful in other circumstances. I don't know. Maybe not.
That could be a hilarious one for you know, using for starting scenarios, though. But, yeah.
Silver-tongued.
Trust me, I'm good for it. Would that be an aspect?
Sure. It sounds like a quote.
You're going to offer him a down payment and work out a schedule of...
I'm going to say, I'm going to be upfront and say what we're doing. So we're going to go to the Sunken Fane and get up some information on a certain demon that's threatening this territory. Then we're going to go and murder that demon and be absolutely drenched in riches. And you can have a share of that for the price of one young male lizard.
Oh, all right then. Why didn't you say that in the first place? No. All right. So you invoke it for plus two, I guess.
Yes.
So,
it's a total of plus three. So I get the youngest male.
That doesn't actually cost you. That doesn't actually cost you any fate points since you got one for inventing the aspect.
I try to be fate neutral when possible. I'll come back basically. Holding this lizard.
Yeah,
you know, holding it by the frill of the neck. I go up to the eyeless one. Here's your young male child. Let's go.
How about you guile that one as well?
You did not specify the species. I'm upheld my end of the bargain. Yes, in a past life or in a future life, I will be a lawyer and or used car salesman. four, maybe a six if I get bonus points for having a prop.
I'll give you a situational nothing since it's not what he wants. Still, that's very, very convincing.
I might have hit a sense of humor.
If he had one.
Maybe I gave him one.
Well, he's just very silent for a while.
He would stare at you blankly, but, you know.
Sound of lizard being held by its neck.
Well, I'm compelled by your inventiveness, so
excellent.
Very well.
I'll try to get the...
You may leave the beast here.
We'll tie it up next to the post where he ties up his raft.
Are you just leaving a youngling lizard tied to a post? You're like those people who tie up their dogs outside of the supermarket and then, you know, leave them there for hours.
Better than shut up in the car.
True. True. Still, it's raining. Okay, fair enough. But that scales.
It's a lizard. You love it.
Yeah. It's a lizard. It loves it.
It's not in a pen anymore, so it can eat freely of any bugs or other snails and edibles that might be in the neighborhood. And it is now the responsibility of the eyeless one. So it's his lizard. Bargain fair and square. Well, maybe not fair and triangular, but still.
Yeah, I guess you step aboard the raft, the rather large raft, and he pushes off with the great big iron-bound oar and starts pushing out into the swamp. You know, it takes some time through the mist and the rain and the mangrove thickets and all that to get to this sort of island-ish mud heap where from various evil-looking blooms sprout and festoon the naked boughs. And, you know, he stops and lets you hop off. It is just past that thicket into the mud flats.
All right.
Right.
Good
then.
Luck.
Luck?
Yes.
I would ask what else you know, but I'm afraid it would cost me another child.
You would be correct.
I'll tip my non-existent hat at him. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And he pushes off.
Good riddance. I can see by the time we're done with this guy, he pulls out a contract with all the fine print and everything. Male child of the human species, no more than 3 years old.
That's why I asked the age range, you know. There's probably some unruly teenager that somebody would looking to get rid of anyway.
Well, even that old drunk over there at one time was a male child.
Who is presently a mate. Yeah. Right. No, he's, you know, beginning to oar himself out into the swamp again, leaving you there.
So we're going to get a round trip?
I think we're lucky to get a trip at all. You know, bonus points if as he's rowing away, he sings somewhere under a rainbow, skies are blue. Because,
well, you
whole
can imagine it.
Thing. I will imagine it because I find that humorous in a kind of Dr. Fives kind of way. I think this would be a good time to loosen our swords.
It probably would be, yes. The twins unsheathe their little scimitars and look at you expectantly. So you break through the bloom thickets and you come into a place where it's essentially a big, huge sinkhole of mud. And there are these great big blocks from a once temple that are mostly sunken into the mud. And it's, you know, overgrown with ancient vines and it's all crazy yellow, red, and violet head-sized blooms all over the place, along with moss and all that.
It'd be beautiful if it wasn't a creepy, sunken travesty of architecture.
Indeed, and if it weren't for the fact that you're sort of sinking into the mud and have to pull your feet up every time.
Yes, yes, and this does not go well with my decor.
I'll pick a different place next time.
Maybe if it was black mud, it wouldn't be as noticeable.
Note to self, volcanic swamps.
Yes. Black blood of the earth? Okay. I guess we'll tread forward with caution that is due, because this looks like the place for ravenous beasts and creatures foul would make a lair, because I don't know. It's still a swamp. It's just a swamp with stone blocks.
Yes. I mean, you could always, I guess, make a sense check to be on your guard, wary.
I have no problem being wary, because this place reeks of danger.
Sounds reasonable.
Let's see. That's a +3 for me. So
one.
I got your back.
All right. While you notice there are all kinds of like minute tracks in the muck, you notice there's a particular smell, a sort of acridness in the moist air that might be some kind of briny breath of some beast.
You smell that? What is that? Ugh. Smells like trouble.
A fate point says you must forage on quickly. And risk your hide.
Well, sure. Duh. We will gladly take that fate point.
All right.
Contrary to popular belief, Death Wish is not one of my attributes.
You just want to see what manner of danger you're facing before you run away from it, yes.
Now, curiosity killed the cat might become an aspect.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so you dash ahead, I guess.
Dash is not the
long.
Probably, I would like to, not quite cavort, but...
Swing from a vine?
I was thinking more something like hopping from block to block, so I
wasn't
stuck in the muck. And it also gives me a chance to look down on whatever's in there. Unless it's trying to sit on a rock, in which case we might come up real close real quick.
Yes. Well, you find yourself kind of the first into this sort of half-sunken courtyard. You could hear this ululating echoing between the sunken walls. There's a sort of rustling in the foliage all about you.
Inside the courtyard or outside?
Well, it's both, since the courtyard is sort of sunken and broken and blocky and full of sort of overgrown with vines and mangrovey tree things.
More than one source of the noise, or?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey, guys, I think there's more than one of them, whatever it is.
And that is where one just leaps. Something just leaps out of the foliage at you, and you're suddenly locked in a sort of hand-to-hand grappling match in the muck with this bizarre, thick snake thing that has, you think, I mean, you're in the middle of a roll when you realize this, but it has these great big gecko-type running legs, and then it has six vestigial sort of arms that are fairly ineffective, but, you know, they do offer sort of raking and sticking in your clothes. And then this great big maw with a big red-crimson throat wattle, and it's sort of just in your face.
Ah! Found them!
So, yes, I'm going to make a slight little attack, and you're going to get to defend yourself.
Totally appreciated.
And that is an atrocious attack, which is, let's see, plus one, which isn't terribly difficult to get out of.
Can I take advantage of my swords since they were drawn?
Sure.
Or are we too close for blades?
Well, there are pommels and cross pieces and all manner of stuff you can use.
Oh, in that case, yes. I can totally see doing the Captain Kirk thing and doing the double pommel up to the side of the head attack. Bap!
All right. It is a kind of snake head, though, so I'm not sure the ear thing would be quite effective.
Well, it's got eyes, it's got skull, it's got brains. Yes. I might crush the fool thing for all we
know. Oh, and absolutely, the reek you smelled, it's, 100 times worse now that it's sort of...
In my face?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Let's see. That's a minus one, so I am at a total of plus two.
You still fend off the biting.
But with not nearly as much style and panache as I would have loved to.
No, you don't make a great, big, huge opening for yourself to do something stylish. But you do, in fact, deter the horrible bite.
Hey, that's a plus. Could use some health here. Could use a mint.
All right, counterattack, and it's going to defend, and then we can go to the others and see what they are willing to do before the rest of them come running.
Okay, well, definitely I want to break free and be able to get some room to swing my swords.
Sure. So for now, you just want to get free. You're not actually making a hurtful attack, I guess.
I'm just trying to break free, but I have a total of plus one. So using my swords to clear space, we're trying to get back on our feet into a fighting stance.
All right.
Plus one isn't terribly impressive.
Well, you're in luck, since I'm rolling worse than you are. That is a tie, and I think ties go to players in Fate, right?
I am willing to accept that, irregardless of whether I know it to be fact.
Well, let's go with that. So you managed to
break
take a few
free
swipes
of its clingy embrace.
Actually, I think ties go to defenders.
Do they?
Okay, well, am I defending myself?
You were attacking
in that case. No, you are in fact attacking. Attacking. You're attempting to attack yourself free.
Okay, fine. So we're still at face-to-face range.
I guess it just, you know, clamps down on one of your blades, so you can't actually get anywhere.
I can totally see that. I just could use a hand here.
That's why while the rest of us are looking for the others that are going to come charging us.
Yeah. Well, you could. Okay. So for the rest of you, you could actually, you know, you could charge into the very muddy, mucky sort of sinkhole courtyard, or sort of climb up onto the walls,
Where did this charge from?
From the greenery of one of the walls. So from out of the growth.
Don't worry, you can easily smell them.
Yeah, it is, you know, you can hear the, you know, rustling of several others approaching.
Then I'll jump up on some stone so I don't have to fight in the muck.
Cool.
Get my spear ready to spear anything that comes charging at me.
All right.
I'd like to throw in something for the twins.
Yes.
Because I can totally imagine their fighting style would be to go back to back.
To go what?
Back to back. So one's facing one direction, one's facing the other.
You mean who? The
twins, the necromancer.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Now, the stones are sort of mossy and slippery, and the muck is slippery, and you get stuck in it. So consider these environmental aspects that you can use to your advantage. And the first time you use them, it's a free tag, so it doesn't cost you anything.
Okay.
In case you need it. Since that's something we haven't used yet, I think, in either Sotsi or here, right? I don't think we've used environmental aspects so much.
A little bit here, a little bit there, but it's hard to do when you're flying in the air. There's not much terrain.
True. Well, I mean, you could say the corridor is really cramped or something. Yeah. But anyway, so, okay, you position yourselves nicely for better defense. And, you know, there are several more, maybe six of them, that dash into the little makeshift courtyard. Two of them go for their buddy, who's clamped down on the swordsman. And two go for the giant dude on the stone. And one of them seem to circle around the twins. And I guess I should make something other than describing what happens, which I guess is some sort of attack. And so the twain going for Garvar sort of scurry up the slippery, mossy stones and begin to snap at his leg. And here's how they do. They do terribly with a +1, +2, +2.
Use my thews to just use the butt of the spear to knock their snouts out of the way.
Kind of steel, but fair enough. Fair enough. I'm not going to be that way.
Ew.
I imagine steel would be for the attack, while thews would be for setting up maybe an advantage.
Well, it's more about what he's using to do what he wants to do. Right. But I mean, in some respects, brawling, I mean, it goes hand in hand, thews and steel. Generally, steel is any, you know, implement, swords, bows. Do you have anything or wish to use anything?
Slippery moss.
Yes, that's the free tag.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We'll use the slippery moss so they can't get a good charge and get me to +2.
So you essentially blunt their onslaught.
They charge up, but I'm able to knock them back down the stone as they slip on the side.
All right, they hiss at you and it's some sort of bile substance begin to drip from the corners of their mouths and, you know, they look kind of hungry. But you keep them at bay. Fantastic. The necromantic twins are sort of hollering and taking turns keeping the thing at bay. They're not quite as adept at fighting beasts as you are. So let's hop on over to our poor beleaguered swordsman.
Ha!
So now you have 3 on you, which is going to give them a +1 bonus for numbers.
Right.
Frightful, isn't it?
Actually, it is disturbing.
did I interrupt you? Or?
No. I'm just pondering what the best way to go about dispatching these beasts are. Hacking them to bits would actually be the most
effective method.
Yes. So it's what I'm good at. So I think we're just going to have to go with that. And if it gets really bad, we're going to have to invoke some muck.
Now you're defending, so you could always use stuff like Acrobat with Attitude and Rolls with a Punch and all that. And so if you, when you're outnumbered, you could use 2 blades of better than 1. Let's have them rush at you with the bile-gripping maws and try to tear at you with their tiny, pathetic, vestigial arms.
Well, we are definitely going to be using their buddy as a meat shield to ward off the worst of this. So if I can't swing it to my blades, I'll use my trusty foul-mouthed lizard flail.
Okay, so they have a +3 for their combined attack.
Okay, so we're on an even footing. That is not good. We are literally fighting to a standstill.
Oh.
Because I have a +3 as well.
All right. Anything you wish to invoke or make use of?
Yeah, let's go with a fate point here since I've got a bucket of them.
If you want to use the environment things, it's free for the first time. Well, free tag. If you want to use your own, yes, it's, yeah.
I'm going to use my own.
Okay.
We are basically using the one that is on me to shield me from the other two, and at one point I will give it a boot, and as it goes sailing towards its buddies, I will literally roll back out of the reach of all of them and get myself some fighting space.
All right.
So that's our acrobat with an attitude. So it's kick, flip, roll, and come up on my own feet, because I'm good at that. That breaks us from a tie, so they're at +3, and I'm at +5.
Fantastic.
I do that a lot. only if I get a spin.
Ben, I guess it's your turn to do some damage to these poor creatures, these poor endangered things.
Okay, well,
soon to be endangered.
Try to make them endangered.
Now that I've got some space, we can get our sword swinging mojo on.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we will basically launch into an assault and, using our web of steel and death, try to put some harm onto these guys.
Okay.
And that is a total of 5. We are now harmful. Yay!
Harmful and hurtful. Oh, that is a 4. So you certainly take out one of them with in some fashion. Describe it to me.
Sorry, couldn't resist. I totally imagine it is a dance. As one bobs to the left, I weave to the right, and one of them is just a little too slow and gets skewered right in the eye.
Of course, I guess you're flitting from rock to rock, since if you stepped in the muck, you'd be slipping and sliding and sinking.
Yeah, the muck has its place, but not for me.
Yeah.
If it gets down and dirty, I might be able to use the muck to my advantage. But right now, we're all about agility and sword swinging room. I am quite willing to sit there and just poke them in the eyes until they stop wanting to fight me anymore.
All right, so the giant on the stone.
All right, I want to call on the nature spirits here in the swamp. The vines come out and try to wrap around these creatures and throttle the life out of them.
Cool. Sounds good to me.
You know, if you want to go all big, you could have them pull them into the muck and drown them.
Yeah.
Just saying.
What if they're amphibious?
Yeah, you can breathe water, but you can't breathe mud.
Well, it's my creatures.
They're mud dragons. Damn.
Let's say +2. So no, +1. Yeah, it's not good.
The muck is calling.
Yeah, we'll throw a fate point and use the muck to drag them into the muck.
You get it for free.
If you use the muck, then that is a free tag.
Oh.
Wait, you used it already. Yeah, okay.
No, use the moss, not the muck.
Oh, that's true. Used the slippery moss rocks to get away from the first, and then now you're using the mud. So keep that fate point.
So +3.
Haha, okay. Well, let's see how well they do. Not so terribly well. In fact, they do 1.
Are they up at a +2?
Yes, and then a bonus 1 for numbers, but of course I roll a -2, so that's, awful. So yeah, I guess, you know, the vines grab them and pull them, and what happens?
They're pulled into the muck, and they twitch a little bit, and their eyes bug out. They just sink down in the muck, just a couple tails sticking up.
They've got to be twitching tails.
Well, they twitch a little bit, and then they stop.
All right. Meanwhile, the necromancers are, they've hurt. They've bloodied theirs, but it's bitten Imnar in the leg and sort of crawling away in the muck, desperately shouting, get it, while Itarmat is slashing at it.
I'll be able to tell them apart now.
Well, one has the tattoo on the left side of the face, and the other has it on the right side of the face.
Yes, but when you're...
And they're not bitter enemies.
Nobody has a goatee. All right, so I guess it's the remaining lizard thing still gawping after the juicy, juicy swordsman. And 3. I mean, that's a decent effort.
Well, We can defend against that. Handily defend against that.
Ooh.
They cannot touch me. And that's the way I like it. It's like, ah. You have to do better than that. I know.
Yeah, let's not have that song playing in our heads. You completely evade them. In fact, you I quite believe, no?
It was only a three.
Yes, you do get a spin.
Well, in that case, I'm just nicking and slashing at them through my web of blades, and it's slowly bleeding them and deterring them.
All right, so how does that lead into an opening for Garvark, leaping from his stones?
I have totally distracted them because they are totally focused on the flashy, stinging thing that is me.
Describe yourself in a few words. I'm a flashy, stingy thing.
If it gets the job done.
Yes. All right. So attack, and let's go with Garfar this time then, and give him a plus one for whatever he's doing.
Well, then I'll hurl my spear at one of them.
Aha!
Yeah. Ooh. And that's a mighty, even with the spin, I got a zero.
Oh.
Well, they weren't expecting it. Survey says.
Well, would you like to do something about that, or?
Well, let's see what their defense is, and then I'll tell you whether I need to spin.
Sure. Boom. They have a pretty decent defense of 5.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fate.
Yeah.
Given Rydek's display of swordsmanship, I don't feel too bad. He's doing well.
All right. So, the spear, I guess, leaps from one of them and then sort of glances off one of their, scaly backs or something.
I'd rather have it just sink solidly into the ground. It is mucky.
Well, I can do that after. But I didn't want to have him miss. That's so not sword and sorcery main character.
Okay, I'll make it swords and sorcery if you let it miss and sink into the muck.
But
I have a plan.
Well, it can still stick in the muck, but, it'll slide off the scales first.
Okay.
But by a fluke, they were angled poorly. So, it slides off instead of sticking, that it goes into the muck. There you go.
Fine. We can work with that. A glancing blow.
Yes.
So, spear stuck in the muck. Because, absolutely, Rydek, the way his mind works, he sees situations and say, I can do that. So seeing the spear stuck in the mud gives him a perfect reason to run forward, grab the spear, and swing around and kick one of them squarely in the jaw, because he would do that.
That sounds terribly dangerous. That sounds like a dangerous
gambit. It could be, but it's also acrobat with attitude.
It is. That's true.
So if we want to balance the compel with the fate point, it still leaves me fate neutral. So.
I don't know if it's compel worthy unless I had something really, really...
Okay, well, in that case, I'll gladly burn a fate point because that is just the way he totally rolls. And the lizards, of course, are not expecting boot to the face. It's like, well, wasn't he swinging swords at us? Well, so apparently he knows how to grab a pole with swords in both hands.
He's a pole dancer, too?
Yeah, he's a man of many talents. But the question is it effective or just flashy? Well, let's see, it's a minus.
That is what your aspect defines, I think.
Pretty much.
What your dice say, obviously.
Would I go against sweat instead of steel on that?
For this, yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's a total of 3. Not too sure.
Let's see what the lizard roll. That's good. Since they roll a 1, all told.
Well,
and I'm so scatterbrained, I've already forgotten what you rolled.
I rolled a 3, so that's a margin of 2.
Yes.
Good boot to the head.
Which means you take them both out.
How does that look? That literally looks like me grabbing the pole, going horizontal, kicking one, continuing in the arc, and kicking the second one in the head, continuing the swing around, and land on my feet. And then jerking out the spear. Thanks!
Well done, Ryder. That was my plan all along.
Yeah, meanwhile...
The NecroTwitch going, did we just see that?
Or they go, how about this one?
Meanwhile, the twins have just dispatched theirs, barely. They appear a little more impressed with Frydeck now than at the rebel space.
Well, well, hey, that was just dead man's last grasp, as opposed to gasp.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much dead men grasp, when you're a necromancer.
True, true. Well, we'll catch our breath. We'll return the spear to my hardy friend, and we'll look at that nasty leg wound. That doesn't look good.
No, well, I don't know, but I think maybe we'll be able to make something of one of these blooms. I think I recognize the scent could be, it wouldn't aid anything, but at least it would stop infection. Of course, we could burn it, but I'm dubious of, getting a fire started and all this
muck. Yes. Yeah. I take it hasn't stopped raining.
It's light. It's more like a light rain now, but it's still raining. It's not cats and dogs like it was in the beginning.
Ah.
Or when you were at the docks.
So it's actually a reprieve from the rain, even if it hasn't stopped.
Yeah, it's a nice, mild drizzle.
Well, I hope this was worth the effort.
Yes, we too. Of course, now we just have to find the entrance and the vaults. And
hopefully they're not underwater.
Indeed. And, bamboo strips tend not... Well, okay, they want to. Let's hope it's sealed.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so they make some sort of poultice from some of the blooms and bind Imnar's leg. I think that's the one I said had a leg wound.
Well, like I said, they're interchangeable. Only now can I tell them apart.
Yeah, right? We're walking along. Wait, didn't you have the leg wound?
Just stares at you dead. I know.
Inar, begins with an
eye. All
eye for injury. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So, having gotten past to the horrible elusive creatures, whose special abilities I completely forgot to utilize, but that's just as well.
You prepared for our awesomeness.
Indeed, indeed. You notice a half-sunken entryway with a much rotted portal, and it's sort of leading one way into the muck. It appears to be some sort of, the mud and muck seems to pour down it and open up rather than fill it. It's an easy thing to make your way inside. That's how you say it. Sheesh. I haven't spoken English in a while. Can you tell? So.
Well, we're glad to give you some practice.
Excellent. Luckily, there are these faint, luminescent lichen about the place, so you don't need any particular light source. It is, however, the bare minimum of what you need to see. So you're not going to be able to identify much down there in terms of texts or bamboo strips or scrolls.
I'm sure we can gladly bring those to the surface once we find some likely material.
Indeed. Heck, let's make this a sweat roll to make your way down to the various vaults without hurting yourselves terribly. And I'm going to want a plus one. And if you don't get it, fun stuff happens. If you do get it, you'll just get the scrolls needed. The indices.
Ooh, just made it.
Aha! Oh, actually.
Well, of course you.
Careless aplomb. He says, watch out for that death trap. That stone's loose. Oh, hey. I think these might be poisonous. So, yeah, it's a plus five.
Fantastic. Okay, so you make your way down to the very bottom of this ancient sunken fane, find the vault, which indeed has been sealed in and... luckily, unluckily, really, stale air tightened by muck. So it's a horrible reek, but once you get it up, open. The indices are more or less safe. The scrolls stored in these leather capsules, whole heaps of them. So, you take a lading each, I guess, and head for the surface.
We take as many as we can carry because, I bet these have value back in Mukhor.
And there's always more demons that need killing, so.
Good point.
That says if we can turn this into an advantage, it's a demon library.
Oh, crap. It's 10 to 2 already.
Yes. because we have fun, and the next thing you know, the time is flying. The dog is barking, saying, I want some more enchiladas.
I really hoped that we would finish this time, but okay.
Wow, you know, this is some really interesting reading. Do you know that Shiba has four breasts?
She who?
One of the demons.
Oh. I thought you said Shiva. Like, what? Isn't that a he?
It could be, but still, four of them.
Is there a picture?
Well, it's just a drawing, but...
We'll save that one for later.
So if you haven't figured it out, Rydak is totally a child of 1970s D&D.
That's fine. So yeah, I guess next time we'll have the scouring of the indices for information about this Yahara. And sure. Yeah.
Then we have John show up going like, dude, that was my library. You killed all my snake buddies.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah.
On that note, I think I will bid you all fondue, and thank you for the fun little game there.
Yeah.
Perfectly welcome. I had fun, so cool.
Y'all take care.
Have fun, people.
Bye-bye.
Todd or...
Yeah, Todd.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
See? You just have to know how to summon me. Say my name three times. Poof!
Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com or come by the forums. SunnySkypers.freeforums.org, or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.